part of my responsibilities at the OU is to make field inspections to our various plants around the U.S., Canada, and sometimes around the world. Recently, I was visiting with a mashgiach, a family that lives on the border of the United States and Canada on the U.S. side. And it was amazing to visit someone and see what life is like literally out of town, where the nearest religious family was almost 100 miles away, and there was absolutely no indication of Jewish life in any sense. And the power of this family and their determination and their commitment to maintaining their Jewish values was really heartwarming. One of the things that, obviously being from in town my whole life, I was very interested in was, what do they do about buying kosher food? And they mentioned how going to their local store, they were basically able to get everything that they could want, not because there was any particular attention to kosher, but because the OU certifies so many different products and other organizations certify a tremendous array of different things a person could potentially want, that even here in the middle of nowhere, where there's only a couple of Jewish families altogether and only one family that was even strict about their kosher observance, still the local store wound up carrying most of the things that they needed. Obviously, one thing that was a sticking point was meat, because stores generally don't carry kosher meat unless there's a particular audience that demands kosher meat. So we asked them what they did about it, and they had different ways that they addressed it by shipping meat in from other places. But they told us that their primary staple, besides veggie burgers and the like, was fish, because the truth is a person can purchase fish even when there isn't a kosher fish store around, assuming that a person knows the things to be careful about, the issues that need to be addressed, and proper knowledge of what kosher fish is. So it occurred to me that people who live out of town in areas where they don't have the abundance of Jewish life, we'll call it, that those of us who live here in New York or in other areas have, that knowing how to buy fish, especially when you're in a place where there is no kosher fish store available, is really a valuable piece of knowledge, something that people could definitely benefit from. So to that end, we would like to share with you the issues that a person has to bear in mind when they're coming to purchase fish from a kosher fish store and how they need to be addressed. Obviously, the very first issue that we'll need to talk about is what exactly makes a fish kosher. So the Torah, as many are aware, speaks explicitly on this and says that the signs of a kosher fish are snappier v'kaskafes. The commentators are bothered by exactly what snappier v'kaskafes is, and the Gemara concludes that it's of no particular relevance other than knowing that the bottom line is anything that has a kaskafes, anything that has something called kaskafes, which we'll talk about in a minute, is automatically going to have snappier. And as a result of that, practically speaking, a person only needs to check a fish for kaskafes. So the question is, what is kaskafes? Kaskafes is generally translated as scales. That is not an exact definition. The reason for that is that the commentators tell us that in addition to being a scale, a kaskafes must be a kind of scale that can be removed easily, meaning without ripping skin, causing excessive damage to the fish. A kaskafes will basically be plucked out of the fish, leaving the skin generally intact. This is important to realize. There are many fish that have scales, for instance, sharks, eels, sturgeon, and many others, that do not qualify as kaskafes for this, that they're not able to be removed without ripping skin. So again, what makes a fish kosher, practically speaking, is a fish that has scales which can be removed from the fish without ripping the skin. Now, the purpose of our lecture today is not to discuss so much all the different possibilities in that realm, so I'm not going to get into too much detail, but I will mention that if the scales fall out of a fish during its life cycle, that is not an issue as far as being a kaskafes, meaning as long as it has a scale sometime during its life cycle in the water, whether they fell out already or whether they have not yet grown in, the commentators universally agree that that fish can be qualified as a kosher fish. This comes practically when a person comes to purchase, for instance, herrings, mackerels, and tunas. Members of that family typically lose their scales. Often there will be one scale which remains somewhere near the gills, somewhere near the dorsal fin, or somewhere near the tail fin, that's not always the case. In the case that it's not, in the case where a fish would not contain a cascasis on it, because it was from the kind of species that dropped their cascasis, we'll discuss practically how one can know it's kosher. But again, a kosher fish is a fish that has cascasis, which are scales that are easily removed, which do not rip the skin when they're removed. And if the scale fell out previously, that itself does not make the fish not kosher. It can still be a kosher fish. Practically speaking, how is one going to purchase fish? The first thing that one needs to do is positively identify the fish that he's looking to purchase as a kosher fish. Some have suggested that the various fish lists that are available can be used to this end, meaning that they'll go to the fish store along with a quote-unquote kosher fish list and ask for something off the kosher fish list, or find something in the counter, you know, behind the counter, that seems to match up to something on the kosher fish list, and that would suffice to purchase the fish. That is not correct, and we'll try and discuss at least some of the reasons why that's not correct. The first thing a person needs to do in order to positively identify the fish is to confirm that the skin is intact. Once the skin is removed, halachically, according to Jewish law, that fish no longer has an identity. There are a couple of minor exceptions to that rule, which hopefully we will discuss as well. But the rule is, once the skin is removed, if there was no supervision at the time that skin was removed, the fish cannot be assumed to be a kosher fish, even if the person selling it is claiming it to be of a kosher species. So again, the first thing one needs to do is to make sure that the fish has skin on, and he needs to now figure out if this fish is a kosher fish based on the presence of the skin. There are two primary ways that one can accomplish that. The first is by simply recognizing it. For example, if a person regularly purchases carp at the fish store and he knows what a carp looks like, he does not need to now try to remove a scale from the carp to know that it's a kosher fish. He recognizes this fish as carp. He knows for a fact that it is carp. And as a result of that, he's allowed to purchase that fish as is. Let's say a person is purchasing a fish that he's not very familiar with. Or let's say a person knows what it tastes like, such as myself, but is not necessarily familiar with what it looks like with the skin still on. Then what a person would need to do is to check the cascasis, meaning to go through the process of seeing if this fish has scales which can be easily removed without ripping the skin. Practically speaking, one can either remove the scale himself and see that the skin did not rip as a result of that removal, or he can ask the person selling the fish to remove the scale for him, and he can visually inspect if the scale was able to be plucked out without causing significant damage to the skin. Practically speaking, it's very rare, if ever, that something is really unclear if it's a kosher fish or not. It's usually very obvious that either the scale is not visible at all, or the scale is visible and it's plucked out and it comes out cleanly. Like we said earlier, there are fish that do have scales that cannot be removed without ripping skin. Sharks are the primary example of that, but they're not very common. So practically speaking, you ask the person to remove a scale, or you can remove the scale yourself. You check the fish to make sure that the skin did not rip significantly, and that fish could be assumed to be kosher. Another opportunity, again, assuming that you don't have fish that are under supervision, is we mentioned earlier that there's some fish that even without skin can potentially be identified. The Orthodox Union maintains its policy that fish whose flesh is red, particularly salmon and certain species of trout, can potentially be identified by a person who's familiar with those fish and knows that what a salmon is to look like, and knows that this fish meets that expected look. Same thing would be for a red trout. The reason for that is that the Orthodox Union has Mesorah, tradition from Rabbi Belsky, who received from Rabbi Moshe Feinstein, that if a fish has red flesh and one is convinced that he knows that that fish is a kosher fish because he's familiar with that fish, one can rely on the red color as what we call simen muvak, an absolute sign, meaning that even without the presence of scales, which is the normal way that you would check a fish, one can rely on the red color of the salmon or trout and purchase the fish based on that. Obviously, there may be other issues to address, such as we'll discuss, but as far as the identity issue is concerned, it is potentially possible to identify something as a salmon or a red trout based on the color of its flesh. If one is not particularly familiar with what a salmon or red trout should look like, this rule would not apply to him, obviously, because if you don't know what you're looking for, then you would not be able to tell something is a salmon or a red trout. Some have asked the question that knowing how much there's discussion in the news about the different chemicals that can quote-unquote color the flesh of salmon, why aren't we concerned that other fish can be colored in similar ways? That issue has been addressed in various OU publications, and it's somewhat restrictive to discuss here. But in short, I can tell you, we've researched the issue thoroughly. The color that's being added to the fish cannot be duplicated in other fish, and unless a person has a particular reason to believe that the fish that he's looking at has been doctored artificially, that something has been done to it that clearly is not a salmon, but it's being made to look like a salmon, that is not an issue which, practically speaking, a person should be concerned about, again, unless there's something that indicates such is the case. Once again, if the skin is off the fish, meaning that when you came to the fish store you did not see the skin intact, and there was no hashkacha system supervising the removal of that skin, that fish is forbidden. That fish is under the rabbinic qualification of being kirvei dogim, fish innards, because they have no identity anymore. Once the skin is removed, they're kirvei dogim, or people call it dogim belo simonim. Either way, the fish is forbidden according to rabbinic law, and others say that it's even so far as to be a suffek diraisa, a doubt as to Torah law, because the Torah forbids one to eat from a non-kosher fish, and once the skin is removed, one cannot know for a fact that this fish is kosher. Therefore, he is potentially violating a Torah prohibition of eating a kosher fish. Some have asked the question, what if the seller assures you that this fish is a particular fish? For example, let's say a person knows for a fact that every fish called whitefish is a kosher fish, and the person behind the counter assures him that that is whitefish. Halachically, one cannot rely upon this person unless he meets the normal rules of halachic qualification, meaning that the person is a Sabbath observer and otherwise is known to be a person who observes Torah and mitzvahs in its completeness, and in addition to that has particular knowledge of fish, meaning that a person who claims something to be true but is not innately familiar with the different issues that could revolve around it cannot be relied upon in this case. So again, if the seller assures you that it is a kosher fish, and the seller is not a Shomer Torah mitzvahs, a Torah observant Jew, and a person who is very familiar with fish and the laws associated with fish, his word is not acceptable, and without skin intact, his hashkacha system would be required, meaning a hashkacha system would be required. If he has a mashgiach, a rav hamachshir supervising it, obviously that's fine. But we're discussing buying from a fish store without hashkacha, and the person behind the counter claiming that something is kosher without any simonim on it, that is an issue, again, unless the person meets the normal Torah qualifications of a person capable of giving testimony. In addition, one should bear in mind that the federal government, the FDA specifically, warns on its website in various articles that one should not rely on the FDA to guarantee that a species is what it's being claimed to be. The FDA themselves warns that species substitution, switching one type of fish for another type of fish, obviously a fish of a lower grade being sold as a fish of higher grade, is a very significant problem. The FDA comes across it regularly, and the efforts to try to stem it are limited since the amount of staff necessary to accurately and adequately uphold this law are just not there. And the FDA's primary purpose, and that this would go true for CFIA in Canada or other similar government agencies generally focus on maintaining food safety and not as much the issues of financial loss. The FDA themselves warns that a person should be careful to purchase only from a fishmonger, a fish seller, that he is personally comfortable with. Interesting to note, and there have been many stories in the news, particularly in Seafood Business Magazine, read about it regularly, how different importers are importing something called tra, which is a Vietnamese catfish. Basa is another one. And they're importing it and calling it grouper. Grouper is a name which generally would be used to refer to a kosher fish. Now, again, once a person is checking for the skin, which, again, as we said earlier, is the legal requirement, it wouldn't really make a difference because once a fillet is skinned, once there's no skin left on the fish, since there's no hashkacha system on it, one would reject it as being non-kosher no matter what was claimed on the box. I'm just pointing out that it's interesting to note this is an ongoing, rampant problem. The government is well aware of it. Industry is well aware of it, And it's important for us to realize that species substitution, claiming something is one fish and in fact it being another, is a rampant problem which can also affect kashrus. For example, this case of substituting Vietnamese catfish for a fish called grouper. It's also important to note, we mentioned earlier about the mistake of trying to purchase fish based exclusively on a kosher fish list, that there are some fish that have similar or the same names, one being kosher, one non-kosher. For example, there are species of mackerel or things referred to as mackerel which are not kosher. There are things referred to as cod which are not kosher. There's a fish called escolar, which actually there's two fish called escolar. One of them is kosher, one of them is non-kosher. So again, buying something based on the name alone is definitely unacceptable, unless a person has a reliable hashgacha system on that, which if a person is purchasing from a regular fish store, one that doesn't have supervision, obviously that's going to be an issue. A second issue, after we've dealt with the issue of identifying your fish as a kosher fish, is the issue of potentially switching your identified kosher fish for another fish. For example, generally when a person comes to purchase fish at the fish store, he buys the fish is weighed, and after the fish is weighed, then the seller would go about the process of dressing the fish, taking off the scales if that's what you like, filleting it completely if you like, whatever process you would prefer. That's when he'll do it, after he's gone through the process of removing, of weighing the fish. So obviously, once you've identified the fish, you now have to supervise from the time its skin is removed that your fish isn't switched for another fish. For example, an unscrupulous seller might potentially take your kosher grouper and remove the skin from it, and when you're not looking, switch it for a piece of basta or tra. Now, practically speaking, I haven't heard of any example of this happening in a store. It's definitely possible, and halachically, once the skin is removed, it's incumbent upon the purchaser to make sure that the fish being purchased is the kosher fish. So obviously, once the fish is weighed and the skin is removed from it, you have to be watching it yourself, because there's no other way to know that your fish is the one being sold to you unless you've watched it from the time the skin is removed. There's another issue to deal with, and that is the issue of the knife and board at a store which also processes non-kosher fish. That would obviously be true for a store under supervision as well. Generally, a hashgacha organization will set up a system to maintain separate knives and boards for the kosher and non-kosher fish, assuming that they would have such a thing in the same store. But when a person is purchasing fish from a non-certified store, he must be very aware of the possibility that non-kosher fish are being processed in the same store. How do you deal with this? So obviously there's two ways to deal with it. One would be to bring your own knife and board. I definitely would not recommend bringing your own knife if you do not have a good filleting knife, because if you bring the wrong kind of knife to the store, you're just going to create frustration on your own behalf and behalf of the man or the woman who's tasked to try and fillet a fish with a steak knife or a butter knife or some other inappropriate utensil. So if you do not have an appropriate filleting knife, I very much recommend that you go with option number two, which is making sure that the knife has been properly washed and cleaned, and the board is either washed and cleaned or covered before your fish is placed on it. That will prevent any oils or fats that are left from a previous fish that may have been non-kosher from affecting the kosher status of your fish. No other processing would be required to the fish if the knife and the board were clean. If, for whatever reason, the knife and the board were not properly cleaned before your fish was processed, this is a common case when a person goes on, let's say, a fishing vessel. Sometimes people go on tours, especially in New York. This is a common thing. People go to Sheepshead Bay in Brooklyn, and they go onto a fishing boat, and the person goes and they catch, let's say, a grouper, and the captain of the boat takes the fish off the hook, and then before you even have a chance to say, can you please wash that, he's already skinned it, gutted it, and otherwise processed it. And the person is left thinking, well, he just traced up my fish, because what am I going to do? He didn't wash the knife, and I don't know what other things he would cut up with it. In fact, all one has to do is scrape the edge of the fish with a non-serrated sharp knife, meaning the sharp end of a non-serrated knife, to just gently scrape over the area where the non-kosher knife had passed. The reason for that is because on cold, non-sharp things, we don't assume that a significant amount of absorption has entered into the fish, and the only concern is really surface contamination. And the poiskim have told us that surface contamination on the fish of this sort can be removed by scraping over the fish with the sharp end of a non-serrated knife. The third issue, which we often hear people concerned about when purchasing kosher fish, is the issue of bugs. Obviously, we're very careful to check our vegetables and our grains and other products that can potentially be infested. And one asks the question, often we hear the question, what about our fish? We often hear about parasites in fish. It's very, very common. Some have gone so far as to say all fish have parasites in them. So the question is, how does one deal with the parasite issue? In fact, Shulchan Aruch says explicitly in Siman Pei Dalet in Yeridaya that one does not need to be concerned with the worms found in the flesh of the skin, of the flesh or under the skin of a fish, but only the worms and parasites which would be found in the stomach of the fish. Practically speaking, all one has to do is make sure that the stomach cavity of the fish is properly eviscerated and removed before they come to cut the fish up. There is an issue, potentially, when some people like to have steaks cut through a certain fish, for instance, a carp or maybe a whitefish, where they want the tab of skin under the stomach, I guess you'd call it, to remain intact, so that there would be a whole circle of fish that one could then potentially put gefilte fish in. Well, the issue then becomes if the person cutting the fish cuts straight through the stomach and there are parasites potentially in the whitefish or the carp's stomach, those parasites, which are often alive long time after the fish are dead, could then escape from the stomach, infest the flesh of the fish, and one would be stuck because how would you know which of the parasites in the fish were from the stomach and which were in the flesh from before it was removed. So that would potentially be an issue. So again, if you're purchasing fish that have been properly eviscerated, that the gut has been removed without potentially being pierced and having parasites in the stomach allowed out, whatever other bugs one potentially would find in the fish have already been permitted by Shulchan Aruch, and later Poskim have obviously reaffirmed the Shulchan Aruch statement. There have been some questions as to why the Shulchan Aruch made this statement, and that's obviously outside the scope of this lecture, but once again, all major kashrus agencies have still maintained, to the best of my knowledge, that Shulchan Aruch's din of the bugs in the fish being permissible until known otherwise still remains the case, and that is, again, OU policy. Now that we've addressed all the issues that a person needs to know, those issues being the identity, the concern of potentially switching your semi-processed fish, the issue of the knife and the board and other processing utensils having non-kosher fat on them, and the issue of the bugs, once one can keep all these issues in mind and how to properly deal with them, one may absolutely purchase fish from any fish seller that he has. Obviously, if a person has any further questions, please feel free to contact the Orthodox Union for more information.